Welcome to DCS Foster Parent Talks, a podcast production of the Tennessee Department of Children's Services. The intention of DCS Foster Parent Talks is to provide flexible training on a multitude of topics in an on-the-go format for foster parents. My name is Amanda Law, a coach and trainer with DCS, and I am your host for today's edition. So today we're going to talk a little bit about self-care when you're also foster parenting. So I have Jenny Sanders here with me today, who is a foster parent in Tennessee. And we're going to talk a little bit about what self-care looks like when you're also foster parenting. First of all, welcome and thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Do you want to start by telling us just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a foster parent. My husband and I started fostering 4 years ago. I started dating my husband almost 30 years ago. We've been married for 24 of those years. We have three daughters, two bio and one adopted. We're also a homeschool family. Mm-hmm. We started this journey not knowing what fostering was and have learned, I'm sure like everybody else, just along the way.
Right.
I am a foster parent co-trainer mm-hmm. for the Tennessee Key Training.
Oh, good.
Used to be PATH.
Right.
I also had a very unique and amazing opportunity to help write that curriculum with Andrea Nash over the last about year and a half, I guess it's been, that and then it rolled out in January. So that's exciting.
So you're who we have to thank for why there's such a good foster parent voice in that training.
Thank you. So that was fun. We've had about 23 kids in our home mm-hmm. in the last 4 years. Some of those are very short term, mm-hmm. some longer. And right. then, of course, our little one is forever, but it's been a journey.
Yeah, I bet. A busy 4 years.
Yes.
Let's just start off by talking about the day-to-day. So what do you do really on a day-to-day basis to take care of yourself?
So it's an interesting question, because I think when we talk about the day-to-day, it really starts before we even foster what our day-to-day is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't have a good understanding of what fostering is, and that it includes a birth family, and it includes trauma, and it includes a long road of emotional hardships for ourselves mm-hmm. and for the children and for our bio kids, like if we don't have that kind of understanding from the get-go, your self-care is going to be slop.
Right. Okay. So good understanding of what you're in for.
Yes. And I know Tennessee Key does a good job of that, but also preparing beforehand even what trauma is, if there's other foster families that you know of, like to get to know them and ask questions and build relationships even before you begin fostering.
Right.
So I know this is for current foster parents, I get that, but if there's people thinking about fostering, like that's a good place to start, so then your self-care actually starts before you have the children in your home.
Right.
Because you need to be educated into what you're saying you're signing up for. So I think that's a huge part of self-care from the get-go. But day-to-day, personally for me, it does include prayer and scripture reading and just being able to prepare for the day. So whatever that looks like for you mm-hmm. and, you know, those quiet moments before the house is awake.
Right.
And just kind of preparing yourself for what that's going to look like, making sure you have a good calendar mm-hmm. so you know what your week is going to look like and maybe even your month. And yes, that's going to fluctuate a lot when you foster. but having those pieces in front of you are huge, so that right. you have your own structure and your own routine, so that you know what your week is going to look like and what you're facing. And as those dates move and change and look different than what you thought, it's not a complete surprise.
Right.
At least you knew what was on the horizon.
Yeah.
Another thing for us, we do a lot of planning. Like if we have a child in the home, like I know what we're going to have for dinner
uh-huh.
for the month.
Right.
You know, I make sure that things are planned out so that the grocery shopping and all those little things that I might not be able to just run to the grocery store.
Right.
When the kids get off the bus or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And so because we homeschool too, that's a whole other facet of,
right.
of what my life looks like. But, you know, just making sure those things are planned out rather than flying by the seat of your pants sometimes. You can't do
right.
that as a foster parent. So.
Yeah. I really like that you bring that up, because I think if you have a plan and you already know where you're going, even if you know there's going to be interruptions, if you know mm-hmm. what you're going to do when those interruptions show up, I mean, that already takes a whole load of stress off of you.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interruptions are a big part of fostering.
Right.
And obviously it's an interruption, so you don't know what's going to happen. So whatever you can have in front of you always helps.
Yeah.
I think the other big thing for me for the day-to-day is always remembering why we foster.
Right.
Because when those hard moments come, and it may be with a court hearing or a CFTM or maybe even a visitation or a phone call, mm-hmm. you know, between birth parents and the foster child, when those things get hard,
right?
Because they will. You have to remember, you know, why you're doing what you're doing and why did you sign up for this in the first place? And so some things that I've done in the past, I'll write little note cards mm-hmm. and stick them to my mirror. Sometimes they're scripture. Sometimes it's just words of maybe something the child had said to me personally, you know, just a reminder of this is why this is important. And right. this is why I continue to have patience. And this is why I continue to work hard and advocate as hard as I can for this child and this family. And I think those have been important to me just to be able to look back at. A dry erase marker looks great on your mirrors.
It does. I actually do that also.
And just things like that, you know, and tucking things into, I journal. Mm-hmm. So tucking things into my journal. I always keep a journal on every child mm-hmm. just to help me see where we've been and then right. where we are.
Right. That can be a good measure of success.
Yes. And so just knowing that we have made progress, even right. if it's small. Mm-hmm. To look back where you were and even the little things that you can celebrate even on those hard days.
Right.
You know, we're not where we were. We're not where we want to be, but look where we are.
Right. So, we're further than where we started.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think another big deal is knowing how you're going to be able to have conversations that are hard. So if you haven't, hopefully everybody that's listening knows what ACEs is. Nadine Burke Harris, if you don't.
You don't, YouTube, Dr. Nadine Burke Harris. She has a TED Talk and it's incredible and everyone on earth should watch it.
Yes. And so just being familiar with those in your own life and dealing with some of the hard things that maybe you experienced as a child or even as a young adult and making sure you've taken care of those for yourself. And
right.
you've come to grips with, okay, that is what that was. How have I worked through that for myself? Am I in a good place? So then when a child comes to me that may have experienced the same thing, is that going to cause me to regress or have secondary trauma or experience things that flashbacks, all those things that can happen when you've had issues that have
right.
come up in your own life. So I think that's a huge thing as well, to be prepared, because those hard conversations will happen. If a child discloses sexual abuse, if a child discloses even physical abuse or neglect that maybe the department didn't know about, and you're
right.
the first one to hear it. Just being able to listen to that and not have an emotional response, because you're going to have an emotional response.
Right.
But that it doesn't outweigh what's happening in front of you.
Right.
And so that you can handle that well.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
I think that's a really great point, because we talk about, you know, kids have trauma, and when they're reminded of that trauma, they kind of, fight, flight, or freeze response takes mm-hmm. over. So that's a really great point, that if whatever their fight, flight, or freezing over is something that also triggers a fight, flight, or freeze for you, then the
yes.
two of you and your, you know, triggered feelings, right, that those could definitely interact with each other. That's a really great point.
Yeah, so I think that's important. And even if it's, you know, maybe you can't give yourself a point on the ACE scorecard,
mm-hmm.
But you still know that there's things in your past that maybe you haven't dealt with.
Right.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
Get comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yes, easier said than done.
Yes. I know that for myself, some of the uncomfortable was some of the behaviors that mm-hmm. were displayed, especially in our first placement. Because I think for everybody, even if you think that you've paid really good attention during your foster care classes and you have looked at, you know, all this information, when that first child comes into your home and you experience it for the first time, you realize you don't know as much as you thought you knew.
Right.
And that's okay, as long as you recognize it and you mm-hmm. say, okay, I need to learn about this, or I need to seek more answers on whatever this is. But there's going to be really uncomfortable things. And so find out what those are for yourself. I'm just going to give an example. Like mine was how much the child lied.
Oh, lying can be a hard one.
Yeah. And so I had to realize for myself, why does that particular behavior bother me more than anything else that she was doing?
Right.
You know, and it's because I have this standard that mm-hmm. I've set up. And it's not wrong to have standards. But at the same time, like, this is a child that doesn't understand that standard.
Right.
And so to then have that standard for her and say, you know, you have to be honest. And right. she's like, I'm being as honest as I can be.
Right.
And it's still a lie.
Right.
I had to deal with that for myself. It wasn't something I was going to change about her. It was something I had to change in me.
Right.
And when that uncomfortable for me happened, when she would lie and we'd find out, you know, there were lies, that I did not overreact because of the standard that I had set.
Right.
You know, so figuring out what those are for you, and it can be different for all of us. You know, you think they should handle their anger better, or you don't think they should talk the way that they're talking, or
right.
whatever it is. You know, we need to be okay with it being uncomfortable for a while.
Right.
And working through that.
And I think that's a great point that you made about that as much as you prepare the first time you see it, you never know.
That's
like
right.
in the new T&K, there's a point where we talk a little bit about a tornado. And if someone's never seen a tornado, you can talk about what a tornado's like. You can talk about the experience of a tornado. You can talk about the sound a tornado makes and all of the safety measures. But the first time you see a tornado, you're still going to feel really overwhelmed
yes.
by the tornado, right? But the more you see it, the more comfortable you become, and you know when to see it coming and what to do when it gets there. But I think, yeah, absolutely, that's a totally normal feeling. The first time you foster and the first time you see those hard behaviors,
mm-hmm.
it can feel really overwhelming.
Yeah. And so being ready for those is mm-hmm. as much as you can. And then when you recognize that you're responding to them in a bigger way
right.
than you do other things, that's a good idea to be like, okay, I need to work on that in me.
Yeah, having that self-awareness.
Yes. Prepare your heart to love and let go.
Yes.
So hard. One of the things that when I co-train, I talk about, a lot of people will come up to foster parents and say, oh man, you know, this is such an incredible thing that you're doing, and give you a pat on the back and
right.
and then tell you it's something they can't do because they'd get too attached.
Right.
And that's I think that is a normal conversation you're going to have with somebody if you're a foster parent.
Absolutely.
And so it bothered me at first because I was like, I'm not made of steel. Like, I get attached too, and it's hard, and it's, you know, so I felt like they were kind of saying, way to go, you can let those kids come in and let them go, and it's
right. You don't develop any attachments to children.
How
just rip
that Band-Aid off and move on.
Right, when that's not the case at all.
No. And so I've started, when people say that to me, I've started being able to say to them, you know, that's the point.
Right.
We want to get attached, and it's really hard to let them go.
Right.
But the whole idea of a foster parent is to create that attachment and that connection, and it kind of changes the conversation. And a
right.
better way for me to be able to handle.
Right.
Yeah. But there's no easy way to do that. You know, I think it's a thing individually we have to figure out for ourselves how we can handle that letting go. When we started, we were a kinship family.
Mm-hmm.
And when that case ended, we transferred to traditional. And the very next case we had, it was twin 4-month-old boys. And we were told that it was going to be a long case that would probably turn to adoption.
Mm-hmm.
6 days later, we were giving those boys back to their parents.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I didn't protect my heart the way that I should have.
Right.
Because of what I thought was going to happen. And so one of the biggest parts that I've learned about protecting my heart is no one knows the outcome of a case.
Right.
It doesn't matter how bad somebody thinks it is and thinks they know what the judge is going to say and what the judge is going to do. No one knows until right. it happens. And so we left the courtroom without the boys, went home because we didn't bring any of their belongings.
Right.
My daughters didn't say goodbye to them. So we went home and we collected up all their things, and I cried for a good 30 minutes before we could go and take the boys' stuff to their parents. We had given the parents a ride back to their home from mm-hmm. court, and then went and got the boys' stuff and came back to their home, and had a great conversation with the parents and got to know them a little bit because we hadn't even had a CFTM. I mean, this was our first encounter. And so got to talk to them a little bit, and they let us get our girls and come back with us too. We had asked their permission. Can
right.
we bring our daughters back to give the boys a kiss goodbye? Because they didn't get to do that.
Right.
And they allowed that. And so I was thankful. But we're never prepared for that.
Right.
And so over time, I've realized how to do that better.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's an expert on it. If there is, somebody
right.
give me a call. So the little girl that we adopted, her case was very long. But I did a much better job not letting myself put me in the mom slot.
Right.
Her mom was always her mom. Her dad was always her dad through the whole case. Didn't matter how close we thought we were to putting adoption on the plan, those were still her parents. We were a fill-in to do a job with this little girl, to love her as much as we loved her, and we loved her big. But if that day came that she went home, we would celebrate that
right
with her parents. And we fought hard for that to happen and really advocated for the parents and formed relationships with them and still have relationships with her family.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, even though she's ours.
Right.
She still has a family. And even though we can erase that off the birth certificate and put our names on it, and I'm thankful, don't hear me wrong.
Right.
She's our baby. We have extended family and
right.
It's them. And so I think that's a hard part, but I think it's something you really have to think about. There's great Facebook threads for foster parents, and
yeah. And
it is constant where you see people like, they're going home and this is hard. I'm so happy for reunification, but
right.
This is so hard.
Right.
And it is. So figuring out for yourself what to do during that time. Some people jump right into the next case. And if you think about that, it's really a grief cycle.
Right.
Right. There's people that kind of do the substitution thing. Just keep me busy and I don't have to think about it. And that may work for some people, for like, I'm not that person,
right.
But can be somebody else, you know, where they put their time and their energy into the next thing and that helps them
right.
deal with the loss. But I think it would be in the best interest of foster families to recognize that that is a grief and loss
right.
for us and for our bio kids.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're being taken care of in the meantime when those kids come in and out.
Yes.
My children love that we foster. I mean, love that
yeah,
we foster.
That's great.
I really thought after our first case, we'd be closing our house.
I
did not think that we'd be transferring to a traditional home. But to see the compassion and empathy and love that my children have learned through fostering, they were the ones that said, we can't stop.
Right.
You know, now they do have a voice to say if they feel like we should stop. They have a voice in that.
Yeah.
That's only fair.
Right.
From our standpoint, that they have a voice to say, I can't do this again.
Right.
But recognizing the grief cycle and knowing how you are dealing with that letting go is huge, because I think it does carry over into your next case. If there's anger that's left over, maybe
right.
you didn't like how it ended, didn't agree with how it ended, make sure you're working through that before you jump in, because if you have that carryover and it
right.
influences the next case, I don't think you can be the best advocate.
Yeah, it can be hard.
Yeah. And not that you couldn't get there. You
right.
can get there, but it might take you a little bit in the beginning. So
yeah.
just to have that awareness.
Yeah, and I think that's great advice. I think every party involved would love to go into any case knowing how it's gonna turn out.
Absolutely.
It would be great for everybody.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And so I do think, you know, having that idea of they could always go home, no matter how close we are, no matter how sure we think it is,
mm-hmm.
there's always the possibility that a child goes back home or achieves permanency somewhere else.
Right. I think even in that, you have to recognize even the class that DCS does, the Loving and Letting Go
right.
Training, is really good, because it does teach you about compassion fatigue and secondary trauma and burnout and all those things that can really affect the case that you're working with.
Right.
If you're not recognizing those things in yourself. And so I think that's huge. So the day-to-day of just remembering
right.
what we're doing, why we're doing it, how short or how long it could be. The unknown is always, I won't say frightening. It can be frightening.
Right.
You know, so just to be aware of those things.
Yeah.
So I think another piece of self-care is understanding if you disrupt a case, why you did.
Right.
Learn from it. Use it going forward. Was there something you weren't prepared for that you need to educate yourself on or get a training in something? Or is it something that was completely out of your hands and it had to happen?
Right.
Because I think both can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important part of self-care. Just recognizing those things that led to a disruption, if you had to have one.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of guilt in disruptions afterwards.
Right. It's a hard decision to make.
It is. It's a terrible, hard decision to make. And so then afterwards, well, maybe I did this, or if I knew that, and so to learn from it and not sit in it.
Yeah.
I think is good for self-care if that happens. I also think that we need to make sure that we're in the moment as much as possible. So whatever you do for yourself to make sure that happens.
Right.
10 Key, one of the things that we added is the self-care piece.
Right.
In each module. and just some of those grounding techniques of if you feel yourself kind of not in the present,
right?
Some of those grounding techniques of, okay, what am I doing right now?
Right.
Where am I right now? Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to think what's going to happen in a week and what happened last night, and you're not enjoying the moment that you actually have with the children in front of you in the moment.
Right.
So I think that's important. Don't get too sideways if a plan falls apart.
Yeah. Kind of building some resilience.
Yes. Even for yourself.
Right.
I think the children, sometimes they get really excited to do things and you have good plans to create a fun experience, and then it falls apart.
Right.
And maybe the child, it triggers a child, or it causes them to withdraw because they don't feel like they can be happy or don't feel like they can participate in that activity once they get there.
Right.
So don't get too sideways about that. You know, have a plan already. I don't want to say that foster parents have to think worst case scenario all the time. I don't want that to be my message.
Right.
But at the same time, like, be prepared because things will fall apart.
Right. Even everything won't fall apart. But knowing that some things probably will fall apart in life,
yes,
in general,
yes,
but also in foster parenting.
Yes. There can be, you can salvage some moments.
Right.
You know, and learn from those as well. But I think it's important to have that idea going when you plan things.
Right.
Have fun on purpose.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Like, on purpose. My husband's really good at that. He's better at it than I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm the planner. We got to have, you know, this, this, and this. And he'll be like, we need to do this. And I'm like, oh, that's really good, you know. Or on the way somewhere, you know, he's doing, you know, he's putting crazy music on and we're, you know, having a dance party in the car on the way somewhere, that we just all just needed to have a release of just everything that had happened.
Right. Or,
and the kids respond to that.
Who doesn't love fun, especially, yes, children?
You know, and even if they're having, it doesn't mean like when they're at their lowest point, you just say, hey, we're going to have fun. It's not that.
Right.
But it's just the spontaneity of having fun, too, when, mm-hmm, the kids don't expect it.
Right.
Is important, too.
Yeah.
Have expectations with flexibility.
That's really good.
You have to be flexible in your expectations. Just like when I was saying about the standard that I had set and expecting them to live up to that standard of talking or, you know, living a certain way.
Right.
We can have expectations and situations that you think are going to go, but if you're not willing to be flexible in it already in your mindset,
right,
that there's going to be some flexibility there, and then you get there, you're letting yourself down a lot.
Yeah.
And so if I can walk in, even CFTMs, we have expectations,
that's a great example.
You know, to walk in and you think how that is going to go, or a visitation, you think you know how that's going to go because maybe you had a conversation a few days ago with birth parents and this is what it's going to look like, and then it doesn't. So just flexibility in all of those things, knowing this can change,
right,
at any moment. And not a lot of us like to live that way. You know, you want to know what's going to be happening next, and when you don't, it's hard. So being flexible in the small things so that you can be flexible in the big things, I think helps a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're not an adult that likes to use their imagination, you need to find it and use it again.
Dig for it once,
yes,
again.
Yes. Being creative, mm-hmm, with our kids, I think for ourselves and for them, it helps a lot. So find your imagination and play with the children. It really doesn't matter how old they are. We've had 17-year-old teenage girls in our home that when we go to the park and we start pretending and imagining, and they join right in.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's really important to let them experience some of maybe what they didn't do when they were younger.
Yeah.
And they enjoy that. And we do too. We enjoy that a lot. Create moments to connect with your kids, mm-hmm, birth kids, foster kids. You know, if you're creating moments to connect with them, then they're connecting to each other.
Right.
And that's important. I think that brings more normalcy to the family.
Yeah.
When you're connecting, not just, it's not just about me and the child or my husband and the child and their attachment. It's also how they attach to our birth children, because their relationships look so different than ours, right?
Right.
And them being able to play together and goof off and be silly. If you're creating moments to connect as a family, those happen so much more organically than trying to force, like, well, you guys just need to get along. I mean,
right.
That's not going to happen. I would say, too, if you can be the one to pick them up after school, I know they ride the bus and they, you know, but that's something that I did. with our teens, being the one to pick them up after school, because when you're in the car and they want to talk, I find they talk about their day then.
Right.
Not
right
so much around the dinner table when you're like trying to get them to recall.
Right.
What happened during the day?
Yeah.
Where when you pick them up right after, they ramble, you know, on the way home about this and that, and you can catch more of their day.
Yeah.
That way. Play games that are conversation starter games.
Oh, yeah.
Board games are fun, too, but if you have conversation starter games where you just go around and you get to know them.
Yeah.
A little bit by what they choose to talk about and how they answer. And there's lots of, you can Google things like that, or there's actually games that you can buy that are conversation starter games. Disconnect from technology.
Yes.
That's just huge no matter what.
Right.
I know that video games are a big fight most of the time mm-hmm. in foster homes and phones. And I found that if they have one, if they come with one, you know, I don't like to just yank it.
Right.
We can put parameters on it. We can put safety protocols on
right.
that. But we also, as a family, have a time where we disconnect from technology so that we can be together and end our day together without being on a screen. And I think that's important. Reading together, even if they're older.
Yeah.
Find a book, you know, adventure book or whatever they're interested in.
Right.
And just read together before they go to bed. That's important because they're using their imagination too. And, you know, so if you can find a book that the whole family loves, you know, that's something we do. Be sure to give undivided attention. And this includes you and your spouse.
Right. To everybody in the house.
Everybody in the house, yes. You know, everybody wants to feel important.
Right.
And so the eye contact, the, you know, what you're saying is important to me right now, all those kind of things is important.
Yeah.
And this may not sound like self-care. You know, it may sound like I'm talking more about, like, this is how you, you know, do your whole day. But I think all of these things fall into self-care because if you're doing them, it's not so hard at the end of every day.
Right. I mean, I think anything that you do that makes your day easier and less stressful on you, in the end, is self-care.
Work on regulation techniques
yes.
when they're not recognizing it. I don't know how many parents got to do the training. Maybe 2 weeks ago, Allison Douglas did a training. She was talking about how she does a lot of invitations to things. And one of the things she said, one of the things that she'll do is she'll just invite them to put goggles on and grab a hammer and break open some geodes.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they're, you know, regulating.
Right.
But she knows they need it. They need to go get rid of some energy and they need to do this. And it's a fun activity. And so finding things like that, that you can kind of hide in. And this is what she said. I thought it was so great. She said, you know how a while ago we decided we would like cut up cauliflower and carrots and broccoli and we'd hide it in spaghetti sauce. You know, you'd blend
right.
it all up so that they didn't know it was there.
Right.
You're kind of doing the same thing with regulation techniques.
Yeah.
You're stick them in the everyday and they don't even know they're doing them.
Right.
They're just enjoying time with you and you're connecting with them, but you're also teaching them how to cope with
right.
if they're getting dysregulated or think, you know, to even say, this seems pretty hard. Why don't we go outside and run around?
Right. Why don't we take a break? Let's yes. blow some bubbles.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just seems like fun.
You're not making it a big deal. Like you need to relax. You need to calm down. You know,
right.
you're not doing that. You're saying, hey, let's just go do this together. I thought that was great.
I had never heard that analogy. That is really great. You kind of got to sneak it in there.
So yeah, that was Allison Douglas. That's not me.
Yeah. Well, she gets all the credit for that one.
Sorry.
We won't take credit there. Thank you so much, Jenny, for joining us and sharing all of your self-care ideas. I really appreciate you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for this February 2020 edition of DCS Foster Parent Talks. And please come back and join us each month for additional topics.